Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama's Ayin Hey. We're going to be starting at the Mishnah. Ayin Dalam and Bay is Ganav Al Pi Shnayim V'Tavach Omar Chal Pi Eid Echad Al Pi Atzmo. This Mishnah should sound familiar, as we've had echoes of this Mishnah earlier, and this is the seventh parak of Baba Kama. So you're going to be hearing this Mishnah and variations and iterations of this Mishnah throughout the parak. So over here in the seventh parak of Baba Kama, so what are we talking about? Steel and Ganeva, and on top of that, Tvicho Mechira. Okay, the basics, which we all know. And that is that when you steal an item, so you have to, and you're caught with the item that you stole, so you now have to not only pay tashlumin, the value of the item, best practice, of course, is to return the item in its original state. In other words, veheshev is a gzela, that's best practice. But then after that, if you don't have the item, or whatever the case is, so then you pay the value of the item. But you were a ganef and you were caught with the ganeva. So now now the Torah imposes a kenas, and that's kefal. So that's now 2x. And then tavachu machar. So what do we see earlier in the parak? What was the lashon of the Gemara? You're a misharish bechet. You're either misharish bechet or mishana bechet. But in other words, at that point in time, not only did you steal the item, but then you really botched it. You then either shechted the animal, alternatively you sold the animal. So now the Torah imposes even a further kenas, a heavier kenas. And that is dal vehe. You're going to be paying now four or five times the amount of the item. So that means to say that in addition now, you're already on the hook for 2x. Now you're going to have to pay 3x, 4x, and sometimes 5x. Okay, and when is it going to be dal, when is it going to be hay? So it depends on the size of the animal. So in other words, be a large animal, sure, so you pay 4x. So the other way around. When it's a shore, you pay 5x. And then when it's a seh, so you pay 4x. Okay, good. So in other words, so that we all know. But we also know that there are a lot of mitigating circumstances. And so what the Mishnayos are doing over here in the seventh parak of Baba Kama is it mitigates. In other words, sometimes you pay, sometimes you don't pay. And what are some of the mitigating conditions? And what are the things that we need to keep in mind? That's the seventh parak of Baba Kama. So let's restart the Mishnah again. The Mishnah starts off, Ganav Al Pi Shnayim. So now what happened was there was a Ganav Al Pi Shnayim. Witnesses came forward and said that you stole. So now you were caught with a stolen item. So already kefal, right? And then tavachu machar al pi eid echad or al pi atzmo. Now the tvicha mechira comes either through via 1/8. 1/8 in halacha is not significant. I say that, and that's not perfectly true. That's not totally true. In other words, there is some significance to eid echad, but for our purposes right now, let's just say it simply. It's not enough to go ahead and extract money from you. So, or let's say you come forward and say, look, right, guilty as charged, meaning I stole, and I'm the one who shechted, or I'm the one who sold. So, you are going to be paying kefal, because the Edom are the ones who testified that you stole, so you're on the hook for kefal, so you're now paying 1x and 2x, but you're not paying dalvehe. In other words, you're not paying 3, 4, and 5x. Why? Because you were moed beknas. Either it's 1/8, and 1/8 is just simply not enough testimony, or you are moed to beknas. Now, ganav v'tavach b'shabbos, ganav v'tavach l'avodah zarah. So now, what about geneva u'tvicha b'shabbos? Now, this sounds awfully familiar to what we did earlier in the parak. It should sound awfully familiar. Previously in the parak, we talked about machar b'shabbos, selling it on Shabbos is wrong, but it's not chilul Shabbos, it's not nisa daraisa. Now we're talking about Tvicha B'Shabbos. Tvicha B'Shabbos, that's a Chil Lo Shabbos. That's a Malacha. So Tavach B'Shabbos, Ganav V'Tavach L'Avodah Zarah. So now either you stole and shechted on Shabbos. Alternatively, you stole and you shechted it L'Avodah Zarah. Shechting L'Avodah Zarah, that's an Isser D'Araisa. That's a Chiyuv Skila. So under those circumstances, not yet. We didn't get to the punchline yet. You stole from your father. Your father died. And then afterwards, tavachu machar, right? Now over there, there's no chi of misa. However, in other words, you stole the item that belonged to your father. Your father died. Now what did you become? You became a part owner of the item, right? The item partially now is yours. So you are going to be putter from having to pay. We'll explain that better in just a moment. Alternatively, you stole and you're a makdish, right? The question that we already dealt with at length earlier in the parak: how could you be makdish an item that you stole? Okay, we dealt with that at length, right? Citing this Mishnah back in the beginning of the seventh parak. So see above for a discussion of how could you be makdish after you stole an item. But Gana vihikdish v'achakachta v'chumachar. So misham tashom kefal v'ena misham tashom harba v'chamisha. In all of the above cases, so you're going to be paying kefal, but you're not going to be paying dal v'hei. Okay, now, in the first two cases, you're not going to be paying dal v'hei. Why? Because the kim levit derabim inei. In other words, with the act of tficha, so you're chayv misa, you can't be chayv misa and mamon. And even though over here it's not exactly mamon, it's kanas, it don't matter. In other words, you can't get two onshim for one act. So if the act of tficha goes and brings about a chayv misa, it's not going to bring about mamon, or in this case, kanas. Yes? So that's Shabbos and that's avodah zara. So what about if you steal dad's shor and now you shechted it? Yeah, but you shechted it after dad dies. So now you're a partial owner. So now whose animal did you shech? Part of it was yours. And remember, in order to be chayv dal v'hei by tvicha, what did we learn earlier in this perek? Kulo be'isser. You have to shech an animal that is exclusively not yours. So over here, it's not exclusively, let's talk about a confusing sentence. It's not exclusively not yours. Okay. What I said makes sense. It just, okay. So, in other words, you are the partial owner of the item, and because you're the partial owner of the item, it's not kulo usser, it's only partially usser, and so therefore you're not chayv dal v'hei, right? In other words, just to be a little bit clearer about this point, what you did was wrong. In other words, this animal over here partially is yours, but you are just a shareholder of the estate. This animal also belongs to your brothers as well. And so therefore, should you be shechting it? Of course not. It's not all yours. However, to incur the chi of dal v'hei, it has to be kulo be'isser. It's just a technical point in the chi of dal v'hei, which, again, we pointed this out earlier in the perek, but here's the Mishnah. Okay? And so we covered tficha b'shabbos, we covered tficha l'avodazar, we covered dads, and what about being makdishit? So being makdishit, so in other words, in order to be chayv dal v'hei, so what do you have to do? You have to shecht an animal that belonged to the marakama. Over here, because you were makdishit, and again, how were you makdishit? See above. But because you were makdishit, it no longer belongs to the marakama, and so therefore, you're not going to be chayv dal v'hei. Okay, so far so good. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kashim shechayv b'achriyosam misham tashlum arba v'chamisha, v'shein chayv b'achriyosam pater. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon's of the position that if it's kachim where you are going to be liable, so then you're going to be paying dal v'hei. And if it's kachim that you're not going to be liable for, you're not going to be paying dal v'hei. And what's Rabbi Shimon talking about? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss it in the Gemara, not in today's daf. Coming up later. If I can give you a sneak preview, Rabbi Shimon is predicated on the principle of davar hagorim lamamon kemamon dami. But again, that's coming up later. We're not going to discuss it now. What are we going to discuss now? So it's going to be more or less one topic in today's daf. So that was the opening Mishnah. The Mishnah introduced us to this idea that sometimes you're not going to be chayv dal v'hei. So Amre, no, not yet. So Api Erecha Chita, so the Gemara says, okay. So now one of the examples given in the Mishnah is, do you know when you're not going to be paying dal v'hei? When there's one witness who's accusing you of having shechted. So okay, fine. So in other words, one witness accusing me of shechting, that's not Eidus. Eidus needs two witnesses, and all you have is just about one witness. It's insufficient. And the Gemara is bothered by the fact of, okay, I need a Mishnah Baba Kama to tell me that one witness is insufficient, meaning this is what we knew this already. This is basics. So Amre, Akamashmalan Api Atma, Dumyada Api Eidachad. Ah, what the Mishnah is really interested in doing is giving us a Chiddush, meaning you are right. By itself, the Mishnah is not telling us anything. But now when you look at the Mishnah in its context, and you really read the Mishnah, critical reading of the Mishnah, so here's what you're going to see in the Mishnah. And that is, what did the Mishnah put side by side? One case is where I shechted in front of 1-8. And the very next point of the Mishnah is that Al-Pi-Atzma, Hodas Atzma. And here's the point. And that is, Dumi Al-Pi-Edechad, Ma Al-Pi-Edechad, Kiasi Edechad, Mitzarf Ba'de Mechayev, Al-Pi-Atzma Nami, Kiasu Ede Mechayev, Lafuki Midrav Hunamar, Avdamar of Hunamar, Mod de Beknas, Vachakach Bo Edem Potter. So 1-8 is insignificant. That's true. However, if now I take another aid and I put it with the first aid, now we have what's called 2-aid, and then I'd be chayiv. Okay. Which again, in of itself, that's easy, meaning we knew that. But in other words, but put alongside that now hodas atzmo. Now we're going to say a chiddush in our Mishnah. And the chiddush in our Mishnah is the following. Hodas atzmo. Am I chayiv knas if I make an admission? The answer is no. In other words, because mod de b'knas pater. Right? That's basic. We all knew that. But here's the point that we're going to be discussing and deliberating for the entirety of today's daf. And that is, let's say you're Moda B'Knas, okay? In a chinami, I shechted the animal. So at that alone, I'm not going to be chayv dal vehei. And now after I made the admission, so in of itself, now I don't have to pay dal vehei. But then subsequent to that, witnesses come and now testify that I shechted it. Am I now going to have to pay dal vehei? In our Mishnah, the deek in our Mishnah is, yes, you are. You're going to pay dal vehei. Because consider, one of the cases in our Mishnah is that it's eid echad. Now, eid echad by itself is nothing. Yeah, but you take another eid and you put it with the eid echad, now you're going to be chayev. The same thing is going to be true by Hodas Atzmo. Hodas Atzmo by itself, I'm not going to be chayev. But now if I take two eidim after that, I am going to be chayev. That's the deek in our Mishnah. Now, if that's true, what does it tell us? It tells us that Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'u Eidim, you're going to be chayev. And why is that significant? First of all, it's significant because here's what we all could have said. We could have said that Moda B'Knas Pater, meaning that once you admit, there's no longer a liability. You could have said that. In fact, not only could you have said that, as we're going to see, Rav is of that position. However, the critical reading of our Mishnah teaches us no. That Hodas Atzmo just simply means that right now you're not chayev to pay. But if Adam comes subsequently and said that you shechted a stolen animal, so now you're going to have to pay dal vehei. That's the critical reading of our Mishnah. And now, if you read the Mishnah that way, what does that mean? Our Mishnah is not holding like Rav. Gufa. In fact, let's now discuss this in detail. The Gemara is going to be spending the entirety of today's daf discussing in rich detail. Now, what happens when you're Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'u Adam? So good. So you're Moda B'Knas, and then afterwards Eidim come. So Rav's of the position that you're Pater. Again, we just read our Mishnah that didn't learn it like that. But again, that's exactly the point. Meaning we made a deacon in our Mishnah that doesn't hold like Rav. In terms of how would Rav address our Mishnah, he'd make another deacon in the Mishnah. Or maybe he doesn't feel the deacon is that mukhrach in the Mishnah. Whatever. In other words, the Gemara doesn't address it, but in other words, Rav would handle our Mishnah. But
time limit. Yes, Rav. A sudden time. It's too late to do it.
No.
Maybe that's what he would.
Rav's position is that once you're Moda B'Knas, that's it. Pater Legamre.
Right, but the Mishnah would say that when the.
Okay, go. Okay, good. You're just thinking how. Later. Right. Okay, good,
maybe
good,
that's
good.
What he
good. No, that's a worthwhile exercise. How would he learn the Mishnah? Good. So that's Shita's Rav. So the Gemara says, Eitzvei Rav Chisla Rav Huna Maisa Breming Amlil Shasim Esein Tevi Abdo V'Aya Samech Simcha Gedola. So the Gemara says, okay, Akasha. Kasha and Rav. Right? Rav Chisla and Rav Huna are discussing, deliberating. Now, both of them happen to be Talmidim of Rav, and so why they're not discussing it directly with Rav, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. But anyway, but they discuss the following. We have a Braisa, and the Braisa describes Rabbi Gamliel, who blinds the eye of Tevi Avdo. Right? Tevi Avdo comes up again and again throughout Shas. You'll see him in Mishnayos. In other words, he was a frum Evid Kanani. It's a funny sentence, but that's in fact the case. He was a frum Evid Kanani. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, really, what I'm saying will become clear in the course of this Braisa. Rabbi Gamliel wanted to free him. However, the pasuk says, "Lolam tavodu." You can't free Neve Kanani. So there are a couple of situations in Shas at the end of Brachos, the most popular one, in which so they needed a minion. So it wasn't Rabbi Gamliel. It was Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar had Neve, and he freed his Neve Kanani. And even though the pasuk says, "Lolam tavodu," but they needed a minion. It's seventh parak of Brachos, I think so. So anyway, so they needed a minion. So Rabbi Elazar freed his Zeva Kanani. So fine. So if you have a really strong need to free your Zeva Kanani, you do so. But otherwise, you can't free your Zeva Kanani. You're not allowed to. And so now Rabbi Gamliel wanted to free his Zeved. His Zeved is Tevi, and he was a real frumer, and he wanted to free him, but he can't. Torah says you can't free your Zeva Kanani. So it happens to be that one day while working, so Rabbi Gamliel blinded Tevi. I'm going to suggest, the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, I'm going to suggest that he did it by accident, right? It's hard to imagine that he did it on purpose. That is going to be difficult. I'm going to touch this point. I'm really not getting into it, but that is going to be difficult because, generally speaking, the cheres of your Eved Kanani is because you abused him. right? And as a kenas, so now he's going to go free. If I'm right in my assertion that he did it by accident, that's not abusing your eved kenani. And so is there going to be a kenas under such circumstances where he goes free? On the other hand, it's hard to imagine that Rabbi Gamliel, who respected Tevi so much, then intentionally went and blinded him. It's difficult to say. I just said it, and it's difficult to say. So the exact circumstances over here are, let's say, a little bit hazy, but the point is as follows, right? All that was, interesting discussion. That's not the main point. The main point goes like this. And that is, he was Sameach Simcha Gedola, so happy. Why? Because now Tevi goes free. So Matzul the Rabbi Yoshua Amarlo, Iyata Yodea Shetevi Avdi Yatzalacheros. So now Rabbi Gamliel talks to Rabbi Yoshua. And you know, the interactions between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, right? If you've been around long enough, they didn't end up going so well. Whatever. Just make a mental note and you'll see. Right? Whenever Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua have an exchange, it's uncomfortable. Okay, so Amar Lo, Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Gamliel, Lama. Oh, really? Interesting. Your eved kenani went free. How come? So Amar Lo, Simeti say no. Well, I blinded him, and so now he goes free. So Amar Lo, Ein B'dvarecha Klum. So Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Gamliel. So what do you mean? Meaning the only reason why he goes free is because it's a kenas, and now you're moded b'kenas. Pater, he doesn't go free. So Shekvar ain lo edim. You don't have edim. The only way your eved kenani is going to go free is because you were misame. But that is the kenas that your eved kenani goes free. And over here you're being moded b'kenas and you don't have edim. Okay. Now ha yesh lo edim chayav v'shaminame moded b'kenas v'achar kach ba'o edim chayav. Okay. Now that was the story. Now the Gemara is medayik in the story. Meaning, what did Rabbi Yoshua say to Rabbi Gamliel? Your eved kenani does not go free. Why? Because you were moded b'knas. And there are no edim. It's that last sentence that the Amoraim picked up on. Meaning, and there are no edim. Had there been edim, so then he would have gone free. Even though the edim followed the hodah. Mm-hmm. So you have hodah, then you have edim, and still the kenas would have been imposed. So this now would indicate that moded b'knas v'achar kach bo edim. So you're going to be chayav. That's what it would indicate. If that's true, to Kashan Rav. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel de lo b'fnei bezin odei. So your mode b'knas your pater. That's true. What the Gemara now is going to suggest is the following, and that is Rabbi Gamliel was lo b'fnei bezin odei. In other words, yes, he was mode, but the hodah came shelo b'fnei bezin. Now the Gemara says v'ha Rabbi Yeshua bezin hava. The Gemara says now wait 1 second. What do you mean it was Shalob if Nebezdin? Meaning, isn't Rabbi Yoshua the Avbezdin? Okay, Maritz Chayes over here, he quotes in the notes in the Masifta. Maritz Chayes points out over here, having Rabbi Yoshua being the Avbezdin is a little bit tricky, right? We all remember the Gemara in Brachos, we all know. Rabbi Gamliel was the Avbezdin, right? He was the head. And then what happened was he got deposed. Right, I'm making a long story short. He got deposed. And who took over for Rabbi Gamliel? So it was the Rav Elazar ben Azariah who took over. And so, and Rabbi Yoshua was there, meaning, in fact, he was the reason why Rabbi Gamliel got deposed again. See the Gemara Brachos for all the details of what happened. So, in other words, you have Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Av Beis Din. He got deposed. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over. And so Rabbi Yoshua now is, when did he become the Av Beis Din? Maritz Chayes struggles with that, makes a suggestion. Anyway, Rabbi Yoshua now is the Av Beis Din. So you're telling me that it's not a Hodah because in order for it to be a Hodah, it has to be done in front of Beis Din. That's what you're telling me. But meanwhile, the dialogue was between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yoshua was the Av Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Shalom Beis Din Havakai. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, his title was Av Beis Din, but he currently wasn't in Beis Din, meaning he was outside of Beis Din. And so therefore, they were having a off-the-record discussion of what happened. So in other words, it wasn't a formal hodah, and that's why subsequently, if Aiden would have come afterwards, so he would have been chayv because he didn't submit a formal hodah. Meaning, in defense of Rav, here's what the Gemara is effectively saying. Meaning Rav will tell you that if you're Moda Beknas Achakach Baoedim, you're Pater. Moda Beknas is a legality. It creates a formal patur, but it needs to be a Moda Beknas. You need to make an admission. Admission is not just simply having an off-the-cuff discussion of, hey, here's what I did. A Moda Beknas means that you're going to go to Beis Din, and you're going to submit to Beis Din, here's what I did. I admit to what I did. Then and only then are you going to be Pater. And even if Edom comes subsequently, you're still going to be Pater. And what the Gemara is saying now in defense of Rav is that whole story with Rami Gamliel and Tevi Avdo, that was a off-the-record discussion that he was having. And therefore, it wasn't formally a Moda Beknas. And that's why, if Edom would come subsequently, he'd be Chayef. Okay.
You could do the same thing from the Mishnah. Learn the same difference.
Oh, okay, good, good.
Resolve the problem.
Okay, good, good. Right, okay.
You need a story.
Okay, good. I hear. The Braisa, it's a little bit easier to say all this in the Braisa because there was an actual dialogue in the Braisa between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, and Achinam. Ve'hatanya amar lo, ein bedvercha klum shekvar hudesa. So now, all this is really good. However, I have another version of this Braisa. In version number 2 of the Braisa, it says, with clarity, what did Rabbi Yoshua say to Rabbi Gamliel? You're too late. You blew it. Not only did you blind Tevi, but then you were Moda Beknas, so now there's nothing you could do, meaning you can't free Tevi Avdo, because you're Moda Beknas, and Moda Beknas is Pater. So now, in this Braisa, it's clear. In other words, then what if Edom came afterwards? It's too late, there's nothing you could do. So my love, Tanaihi, Hai Tana Dama Shekvar In Lecha Edom Savra Moda Beknas V'Achakach Lo Edom Chayev V'Hai Tana So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe here's what we could do. Maybe the Rav's position is really machlokas tanaim. In other words, we have two versions of the Braisa. Version number one is that if Edom comes subsequently, Tevi Avdo would be Yotze Becheres, i.e., we would impose a Knas. And version number two of the Braisa is, no, it's too late. Once you're Moda Beknas, Edom afterwards can't affect it. The Hodah will create a Petur, Legamre. And maybe it's a machlokas between the braises. The law of the Gemara says maybe not. Maybe everyone holds that once you're Moda Beknas, that's it, you're Pater. Even if Edom comes subsequently, you're still going to be Pater. And maybe the only discrepancy between the two braises is just going to be a question of where they were at the time when Rabbi Gamliel made the Hodah. Did he make a formal hodah? Did he make an informal hodah? Was it a formal hodah that was done in Beis Din? If that's in fact the case, that's it. Done. In other words, you're Moda Beknas, and therefore you're Pater. And even if Edom comes subsequently, you're still going to be Pater. And maybe version number one of the Braisa was that it was an informal hodah. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua were speaking off the record. In other words, they were just simply discussing, but outside of Beis Din. And so therefore, it wasn't a formal hodah, and that's why If Edom come, then you would impose a Knas, which is really what Rabbi Gamliel wanted. It is such a funny discussion that we're having over here. Rabbi Gamliel wants the Knas, right? Normally, what you're trying to do is you're trying to avoid the Knas. That's Moda Beknas, is that, in other words, I'm admitting to what I do and don't impose a Knas on me. Over here, what Rabbi Gamliel wanted is that, in other words, because when you knock out any one of the Evarim, the Chavdal Evarim of your Eved Kanani goes free. So Rami Gamliel wanted the Knas in this particular situation. I admit it's an unusual discussion. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, you don't want the Knas. Here, Rami Gamliel actually wanted the Knas. Okay. Where are we right now? So we are part one. Well, we'll get there. I'm prepared for that question, but we just need a little more Gemara. Okay, so where are we right now? So in the topic of today's daf really consolidated in terms of what we're discussing, and that is Moda Beknas v'achar kach bo Edom. So we know Moda Beknas is Pater. We know that. But what happens if Edom comes subsequently? So are you still going to be Pater or no? The Edom that come afterwards is now going to be Mechayev you. And what we know for sure right now is the Shita of Rav. Rav's of the position that Moda Beknas v'achar kach bo Edom, you're going to be Pater. That Shita's Rav. And what the Amoraim were doing, Rav Chisna, Rav Huna, discussing, deliberating. We have a Braisa. The Braisa is a proof of Rav. It's a Kashyan Rav. Good. Viter. Itmar Moda Biknas Rachakach Vaweidim Rav Amar Patur Shmuel Amar Chayav. And so now here comes chapter 2. Chapter 2 of this discussion now is that really a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Meaning up until now we've been introduced to the sheet of Rav. Now in comes Shmuel. Shmuel is a bar plukta with Rav on this very topic. Shmuel's of the position that Moda Biknas Rachakach Vaweidim, you're going to be Chayav. Amar Rav Bar Yilai, my taima de Rav. So what's the basis for Shita's Rav? How come the Mod Beknas V'Achakach Ba'Oedim you're going to be Potter? Okay? Usually, when the Gemara says my taima, the Gemara gives Tama Dover. In other words, it's going to give us some sort of rational, logical explanation to help us understand this. That's not what's going to happen right now. What are we going to see right now? Drashas. Okay. So admittedly, even though the Gemara asks the question, what's the reason behind Rav? It's not really what's the reason behind Rav, but really is what's the drusha behind Rav. So the Gemara says, "Hime matzei beidim timatzei b'dayanim." So if you're caught with a stolen item, so im hi matzei, that's beidim. So then timatzei b'dayanim. So then the dayanim are going to impose kefal, meaning you're only going to be chayv kefal, which of course is a knas, but only when discovered by edim. Good. Prat l'mashiyas atzmo. And what is that an exclusion for? That's an exclusion mashiyas atzmo. Meaning, let's say, you come forward and you say, I stole. So then you're not going to be paying kefal. That's mod biknas. Now, lamali me'asher yashir nafka. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I don't need that drasha. I already know mod biknas is pater. Why? Because the pasuk says asher yashir. When Beis Din holds you, finds you guilty, then you're going to be chayv kefal. But in other words, but if you go ahead and admit your own guilt, so you're not going to be chayv kefal. We already know mod biknas is pater from asher yashir. So now, if I already know that you're Pater, so what's Himatzei Timatzei coming to teach me? Ela, Shmami Namo Dibeknas Rachakach Ba'oedim Pater, it's coming to teach me the next step, which is not only your Mod Dibeknas Pater, in other words, that's step one, that's Asher Yashiyun. Now Himatzei Timatzei comes to tell me an additional point, and that is that your Mod Dibeknas Rachakach Ba'oedim, you're still going to be Pater. Shmuel Amalacha Ha'u Mibai Leleganavat Smoke Titan Debe Chizkiah. And what Shmuel going to tell you? Shmuel says that himatzei timatzei, that I need to teach me that the ganav is chayv kefal. Meaning, see the beginning of this perek. Right? When we opened up the seventh perek of Baba Kama, what do we do? 2 days of drashas. And if I can remind everybody, they weren't easy. Right? A series of psukim in Mishpatim that teach us about kefal. Right? There were 3 psukim and there were numerous ways to interpret the psukim, and according to Tanda Bechizkiah, I needed one of the psukim to tell me ganav atzmo. Himatzei timatzei was there to teach me about ganav atzmo, that if you're a mamish ganav, you pay kefal. Okay. See above for that. Anyway, the point is that according to Tanda Bechizkiah, the pasuk is already used to teach me a different halacha, so all I'm left now is with one drasha of Asher Yashiyun. And that only tells me mod de beknas pater. But if it's mod de beknas v'achakach ba'oedim, you're going to be chayav. Okay. In other words, basically what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about is how to darshan psukim. So it's not really tama davar, it's just simply drashas.
By tovi avdoi, potur means that he remains an eved.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
V'achakach ba'oedim chayav means that he is going free.
Agreed.
Whereas in the other cases, in the regular case, Potter means you do have to pay the knas.
Right.
And chay, no.
It's all the same. I pointed out with Tevi, it's so unusual. He wanted the knas.
He wanted
the knas. In other words, he wanted Tevi to go free.
Right.
Okay, but it comes out to the same point. Meaning, right? In other words, if you say mod beknas v'achakach ba'oedim, you're chayav. So then you'd be chayv the knas. It just happens to be he wanted the knas.
So,
okay, whatever. Eisvei Rav Lishmuel.
He would be free.
Okay. Ra edim she memash meshimu bayim. Okay, good. So now, here we have a direct dialogue between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. In other words, obviously this topic was discussed extensively in the Beis Medrash. Meaning we saw Rav Huna and Rav Chista have this discussion. We're now seeing Rav and Shmuel have the discussion themselves. Okay. So, Edom are going to court. Now, you stole, and you know you did. Hey, right? And you see the Edom going to court. What's it called? So now what you do is, right, you ran like you never ran before, and you're running to Beis Din, and you pace the Edom, and right, you lap the Edom, and now you're in court, and you say, okay, here I am now admitting I stole, right? And not only that, Amar ganafti aval lo tavachti v'lo macharti. Sorry. I stole, but I didn't do Geneva. I didn't do Tzvicha, nor did I do Mechira. Okay, good. So in other words, what's your goal? What's your intention over here? Had the Edom gotten to court before you, so then you'd not only be Chayv Karen, you'd also be Chayv Kefal. Now by the way, they may even testify that you were Tavach Macher, and then you're Chayv Dalvehe. But in other words, in the very least, you're going to be Chayv Kefal. So now by you getting to court before them, so now what you did is you just potted yourself from Kefal. And Tzvicha Mechira. So Amar Lehacha B'mayaskin. I'm sorry. So what do you see over here? So now, presumably, what happened afterwards? The Edom walked into the courtroom. And presumably, the Edom now are going to testify against you. But you already made the admission. And you're putter. And you're still going to be putter. Oh. So in other words, if we're right about how the story ended, the Braisa doesn't give us the ending. But if we're right about how the story ended, so now it comes out that you're mod b'knas v'achachach b'edim, you're going to be putter. And this obviously supports Rav, which is why Rav directed this Braisa to Shmuel saying, hey, see the Braisa. So Amar Leh, so Shmuel will say now, nah, hacha b'mayiskin and kigon shechazor edim l'achareihem. You got the story wrong. You got the end of the story wrong. Meaning, we don't know what happened to the edim. Maybe the edim saw the guy run into the courtroom and the edim basically said, okay, what's the point of us going? So maybe the Edom turned around and went home. Maybe that's what happened. Vahami didn't he say for the Gemara says, yeah, I don't think that's the case. And oh, by the well, I'll just whatever. I'll keep this thought to myself. Let's just go on. Vahami didn't he say for Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Omer, Yavo Edom v'Yaidom Mechlad the Tanakama Sevalo. So and meanwhile the Gemara says no. In other words, keep reading in the Braisa. Meaning you only quoted the first half of the Braisa. What about the second half of the Braisa? In the second half of the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon says that the Edom should come and they should testify. So because it's going to be Mechayiv you. So Mechlal the Tanakama Savarlo. So that means that according to the Tanakama, even if the Edom came and they testified, you'd still be Potter. So Amr Le Shmuel, Lavika Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, the Kai Kavasiyah, and Amr Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So what Shmuel will say is, okay, now that we quoted the end of the Braisa, look, you may be right. Tanakama supports you, Rav. Okay, but in the end of the Braisa, you have Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says, B'Theirush, that Moda B'Knas V'Achachach B'Oedim, you're Chayiv. So I hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, fine. So L'Shmuel V'Adei Tanayhi. L'Rav Milema Tanayhi. So look, as Shmuel's analysis of the Braisa goes, Shmuel will tell you that that's the Machlokas Tanayhi. And I hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And there's no way to get out of it. Meaning, that's how you'll set up the Braisa if you're Shmuel. Now, for Rav, do you have to say it's a machlokas tanaim? Rav would be much happier to say that every Tana would agree with me. He'd be much happier saying that. And so maybe you can make that argument over here. Meaning, for sure the Tanakama holds like Rav. I know historically that was a weird sentence. But for sure the Tanakama holds like Rav. But maybe what the Gemara is going to try to argue, maybe Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon does as well. How would you say that? I'm the Charav. I'm the Darmi. I feel the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Ad can lo kam Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. How some Allah mishum to come mode machmas be used as a deidim. Ava hacha mode me asma. I feel the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon mode. Here's what Rav would argue. For sure, the Tanakama holds like me. There's nothing to discuss. Even Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon holds like me. Consider over there. He went to court and he admitted it. Was it right? Very good. All right. You literally stole. Right. Thought, you were in my head. Was that a sincere admission? Of course it was. There was no sincerity in that admission whatsoever. He saw the Edom go into the courtroom. You know, the same Edom who saw him stole. He knows who they are. He knows why they were going into the courtroom. Oh, if they go into the courtroom, so now I'm like going to have to pay Karen, I'm also going to have to pay Kefal as well. And who knows what they're going to say about Tzvicha Mechira. You know what? I'm just going to go there and I'm just going to admit it. It's not a sincere admission. Maybe the halach of Moda B'Knas Pater is only when the admission comes out of sincerity. On your own, all right, nobody forced you to do it, or no one, you know, you didn't have any real strong external motivation. But because of your real interest in, I want to do the right thing. So you went and you admitted it. Then we'll say motiv b'knas pater. But over here, this is not a real hoda. Ah. But it had it been lo yitzu, had it been a real hoda, now you're going to be pater. And even achar kach ba'u edim, and even if edim comes subsequently, you're still going to be pater. Okay, good. Okay, so a defense of Rav. Okay, so where are we right now? We just hit chapter 2 of this whole discussion of motiv b'knas v'achar kach ba'u edim. In chapter 2, what do we learn? That it's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav's of the shita that motiv b'knas v'achar kach ba'u edim, you're still pater. And Shmuel will tell you, no, motiv b'knas v'achar kach ba'u edim, you're going to be chayiv. Good. Chapter 3. Such a nice, tidy daf today. Amr of Hamanuna, Mr. Amr of Milsa Derav, the Omer Ganavti of Awedim Shaganav Potter. Sharei Chayev Atzma Bekaren. Ava Amr lo Ganavti of Awedim Shaganav. Chaz Amr Tevachti Macharti of Awedim Shetafachu Machar. So Chayev. Sharei Potter Atzma Beklom. Okay. Rav Hamanuna tells us that even within the Shita of Rav, Rav will tell you that Mod Bekanas Vachakach Ba'oedim is Pater. Right? That we know already. Right? We saw that both in chapter 1 and chapter 2. But here Rav Hamnuna is going to be the Mechadish. Even Rav will say that in order for Hoda to Pater you from Kanas, that Hoda has to have teeth to it. There's got to be some skin in the game. Okay? Long-time listeners of my daf will know that I probably used the exact same expression seven and a half years ago. You got to have skin in the game. So the hoda has to have teeth. What is it? What do I mean by that? What I mean is that if you went into the courtroom and said I stole, so now with that hoda you now have to pay principal. Karen. Yeah. So now that hoda is a significant hoda. That's going to potter you from kefal. And even if Adam comes subsequently, you're still going to be potter from kefal. But had the hoda do nothing other than just potter you from paying, that's not going to be a hoda. That's going to potter you. In other words, such a hoda of achar kach ba'u edim, you're going to be chayev. What's the example? So we read it. And now I'll just explain it. And that is, let's say the following were to occur. And that is that, let's say, so let's say he denies having stolen, and now witnesses come and said you stole. Oh. So now he's chayev 1x 2x. He's chayev kefal. Okay. So at that point, and there was no hodan for that. So now he basically got backed into a corner. Okay. So now what's next? Oh, I did shech the animal. And now the Edom are going to testify about the Shechita. Or another set of Edom are going to testify about the Shechita. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a Hoda on the Shechita. Because at least there now it's going to potter me from 3x, 4x, and 5x. Okay? So what Rav Hamanuna is going to tell you is that even Lefi Shitas Rav, that's not going to potter you. Now, it's not going to be Mechayev you, but it's not going to potter you.
What is that?
Hoda... It didn't create any liability. It only created exemption. And therefore, that hoda by itself is not a significant hoda.
Well, it's insincere.
Okay, good. Right. In other words, right. It could be connected to the previous point. Could be. Not sure. But the point is that a hoda only will be an effective hoda if it creates both patur and liability. But if it only creates patur, it's not a hoda. No, that is Rav Hamnuna's qualification of Rav. Amar Rava ki pachtle sabe debe Rav. So Rava says to Rav Hamnuna, "What I did is that I undercut, I swept the leg of the tamid of Rav. Why? How? Because how Rav Gamliel potas mami klamava." Because consider, let's go back to the story of Rav Gamliel, right? The dialogue between Rav Chista and Rav Huna over that mice of Rav Gamliel. Now, over there, what kind of hoda were we looking at? Was there any teeth? In other words, with that hoda, was there any chayvus with that hoda? No, that hoda came exclusively patur. In other words, with the Oda, you would have the Petura, and you would not be losing your Eved Kenani. And again, I'm just going to acknowledge, it's weird, because in that story, he wanted the Kenas. But put that aside. In other words, that's a Hoda that created no liability. And yet, Rav Huna and Rav Chista were dialoguing over that case and dunning on whether or not that Hoda is going to create a Petur, not going to create a Petur. What happens if Edom come afterwards? V'chule, v'chule. Now, over there, couldn't the discussion have just ended really quickly by simply pointing out that is 100% Hoda with no liability included? And yet, Rav Huna, Rav Chista didn't breathe a word about that point. If you're right, Rav Hamanuna, so what should have happened in that discussion? That Hoda had no liability. Zero liability. That's not a Hoda. That's how that discussion should have gone, and it didn't go that way.
So you would be chayiv if the Edom come in?
Yeah, and then you'd be chayiv if the Edom came afterwards. And Akanami. It Marnami, you could. So Rava made an outstanding point, and the Gemara basically moves on. Meaning, what are you going to say in defense of Rav Hamnuna? A good question. The Gemara doesn't say, and we're going to go on.
Why do you say there's no liability? He lost his head.
No,
he wanted it. I understand.
I'm acknowledging the point is confusing because he wanted it. But in other words, but
still lost.
Put motivation out of the discussion. Leave motivation out. The point is that it creates a ptur, meaning that once you're moda beknas, you're not going to get the knas. The knas is you lose your evid, and now because he was moda, he's not going to lose his evid.
100%.
I know the motivation makes it a confusing case, yeah. But leave the motivation out of it. Just look at the result. Okay. It marnami. I'm Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'm going to have to bow edim. So shagana of potter sharei chayiv atzma bekaren. Aval amr lo gana vavau edim shagana vechazav amr tavakti marchati. Now, I read all that, and I'm not going to explain it. Why? Because it's a repeat. Meaning, Rav Yochanan's telling us that I agree with Rav Hamnuna. Which, parenthetically, by the way, it's not even a parenthetical point. Meaning, number one, Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Hamnuna. That's significant, number one, simply because now Rav Hamnuna is backed by Rav Yochanan. Now, Rav Hamnuna is in Bavel, and Rav Yochanan's in Eretz Yisrael, but doesn't matter. Meaning, Rav Yochanan backs it up. It also becomes significant because when Rav Hamnuna is making this statement that in order for a Hoda to be significant, there has to be skin in the game, it has to have teeth, that Hoda has to be a Petur and a Chiyuv. So in other words, that's all built on the position of Rav. Meaning Rav Hamnuna is qualifying the Shita of Rav. And Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Hamnuna. That means that Rav Yochanan also agrees with Rav. Okay, and all that becomes important. Why? Because what you'll notice over here is that who does the halacha follow? Like, right, Phil? I promised and delivered. What a day I'm having. So what's the halacha? Halacha over here falls like Rav, right? Mode beknas v'achar kach ba'oedim pater. The halacha is like Rav. Now, normally by Mamnos, what do we say? Right, if Ava machloks between Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel, right? The halacha is Shmuel bedine. And over here, this is din. It's right where this is now money. I know it's kanas, but still, it's money. And the halacha is like Rav. So why would the halacha be like Rav? So one of the reasons why is because not only is it the shita of Rav, it's also the shita of Rav Yochanan as well. Okay, good. I'm Rav Ashi Masitzin Abraisa. So now, this position, that in order for the Hoda to be a Petur, and it to be a significant Hoda, so it has to be both creating a Petur, and it also has to create a Chiyuv as well. How do I know that? Where do I see that from? So the Gemara says, I'll see it in the Mishnah, I'll see it in the Braisa. First, we're going to start with the Mishnah. Mas Nisan did not ganav al pishnayim v'tafachumach al piyedechad al piyatzma misham tashom mekefal v'ne misham tashom arba v'chamisha. Okay, so our Mishnah. And now the Gemara dissects our Mishnah. Lamali did not ganav al pishnayim lisne ganav v'tafachumach al piyedechad al piyatzma v'ne misham ala karen. So now, why is it ganav al pishnayim? What the Mishnah should have said regarding Kefal is going to be tavachumacher al piyed echad. Oh, al piyed atzmo einu mechayiv el karen. Why couldn't the Mishnah give the simple case of you made the admission and therefore you're only going to be paying karen? Meaning, and with the understanding that if witnesses come, you'd be paying Kefal. So, el alav, top of the Amud Beis. So how come Ashmalan got enough api shnayim v'tavach api edechad or api atzma d'lo mechayiv atzma b'keren? Who d'amrin on api atzma d'umya d'api edechad? Ma api edechad ki asu edechad mitzarf ba'ade mechayiv api atzma nami ki asu edem mechayiv. Ava gana v'tavach umacha api edechad o api atzma d'chayiv atzma b'keren lo amrinan api atzma d'umya d'api edechad. If the hodah that you give creates also liability, i.e., you admitted to having stolen to begin with, then your hodah now is going to be significant, where now Edom coming afterwards is not going to be mechayiv you. That's why the Mishnah was very careful about the case that it selected. Had it selected a case where you're a moda begneva, so now that hodah begneva creates a ptur kefal, but it also creates a chiyuv keren. And under those circumstances, now that's a hodah, which creates a ptur legamre. Good. That's the deek in the Mishnah. And now we're going to do the same thing in the Braisa. Braisa, mid-detanya ra'i, mash-mashim ovayin, amar ganafti, avalo tavakti, avalo machati, mashalam elakaren. So, you see the Edom running to court. You just run faster. And you lap him. And you make it to court. And you say, ganafti, but lo tavakti, lo machati. We saw this Braisa already this morning. So, under those circumstances, and mashalam elakaren. Again, the Bryce over here, very careful about the case that it offered up, where you outpaced them to run to court in order to admit that you stole. Why that case? So, right? And why wouldn't the Braisa give the case where you didn't admit to stealing? Witnesses testify that you stole, and now you're trying to create a patur on tvichel mechira. So now you say, yeah, but I shechted it, and now and then witnesses come and say that we saw you shecht it. So why didn't the Braisa give all that give that as a case? And the answer is because that's not a hodah. A hodah that does not create also liability is not going to be a hodah. That's why the Braisa didn't give such a case. Amri lo. So on the Braisa, the Gemara says, look, well stated, but I'm going to push back. Meaning the diuk on the Braisa, I'm not going to buy into. He gufa kamash malan de kev damar ganafti. Maybe the Braisa gave this particular case to teach us a different point altogether. Meaning, what happened? He was the one who came forward and he said ganafti, which means what? He's paying keren, but he's not paying kefal. So already now he's on the hook for 1x, but he's off the hook for 2x. And now you have Edom come say that he said that he shechted it. So is he going to have to pay now 3x, 4x, 5x? And the answer is no. But over here, the Braisa wanted to make this point, and it's a very specific point. And that is, do you know why he's not going to pay? Because once 2x gets knocked out, so does 3x, 4x, 5x. Because you only pay dalet vehei only when it's dalet vehei, not when it's gim of a dalet. Once kefal is taken out of the equation, there's not going to be dalet vehei. My time, huh? Because the kanas is super specific. The kanas is dalet vehei. And if for technical reasons, over here, what's the technical reason? He was moda on the geneva. So now the kefal gets knocked out. So 2x gets knocked out. So now, right. So now what's left? So if Ivan come and said that he shechted it, so now normally we would say, okay, 3x, 4x, 5x. But in other words, 2x is gone. So now, if you can follow me, the blackboard over here would be helpful. So 3x, 4x, 5x now becomes really 2x, 3x, 4x, but the Torah is very specific. No such knasa exists. Okay. Adkan. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Lema Ketanai is where we're bookmarking it. Well, tomorrow we'll pick it up with Lema Ketanai. Happens to be next to Dapim, or super short. Okay. Ayin Zion, right? Almost. Right. Barely an Amud. Okay, good. So anyway, nevertheless, excuse me. Today's daf really focused in terms of what topic it's discussing. We started with the Mishnah 9 Dalamud Beis, and bringing us into today's Daf Ayin Hey. And the Mishnah gave us a series of examples in which you're not going to be Chayav Dal Vehey. But really, as far as the Gemara is concerned, the topic du jour is where you were Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'Oedim. So what do we know so far? If you're Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'Oedim, Rav says you're Potter. Meaning that Hodah is such a strong Hodah that it creates a Petur. That's Shitas Rav. We also know over the course of today that Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'Oedim, you're going to be Chayav. We also know the Shita of Rav Hamanuna. That's what we learned today. And that is that Rav Hamanuna subscribes to Rav. That Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'Oedim, you're going to be Pater. But only when the Hodah creates Petur and Chiyuv. Like Geneva, for example. Geneva is a perfect example. When you go to court and you admitted to that you were a Ganav, so now it creates a Petur Kefal, but it also creates a Chiyuv Karen. Then and only then are we going to say the Moda B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'Oedim, you're going to be Pater. But if the Hodah B'Knas is only creating Ptur, so that is not going to create a bona fide Ptur. If Edim comes subsequently, you're in fact going to be Chayiv. That's Rav Hamanuna, and we came to learn that Rav Yochanan also agrees with Rav Hamanuna, and the Gemara finished off today with citing Mishnah and Brisa that seems to support this position. Go ahead. So, Stuart, don't doubt about that.